God gave unto him. So here we have the introduction of this book called the Book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, it is from Jesus Christ, given to him by God. It is about Jesus Christ. The entire book is centered around the person of Christ and the culmination of his work. So we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants what? Things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And then John did what? Verse 2. Who bear record, he recorded this revelation of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And then verse 3 says this, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then all the way to the end of the book in chapter 22 and verse 7. Chapter 22, verse 7. He concludes at the towards the end of the book, and Jesus, these are Jesus' words here, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Why study prophecy? Does prophecy really matter? What is the point of studying something that is far off into the future, we probably won't even be around for it. Yeah. Can we even trust prophecy to be true and accurate? Or our interpretation of it, anyway. I don't know. So prophecy can be kind of a daunting study for some people. And so we're going to consider why even bother with it this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, may you bless your word. Help us as we look at this topic. May it be profitable to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So why should we study prophecy? As I mentioned, some might desire simply to ignore or minimize the study of prophecy for multiple reasons. I think we have to be careful with prophecy. But some people might just say, well, let's not even mess with it. Some people would argue that it lacks relevance or importance in our life. And by the way, the PowerPoints, I kind of summarize stuff in the PowerPoint, so it might not exactly match the notes, but I'll try to give you all the fill-ins as we go. So some might try to ignore or minimize prophecy because they think, at least, that it lacks any kind of relevance, any kind of importance for our lives. There's no practical ramifications. Other people might ignore it or minimize it because they think that it's a secondary doctrine to other core doctrines of Scripture at best. They think, well, it's not a fundamental doctrine. It's just kind of an add-on type of thing. It's maybe optional. And so they view it as kind of secondary. Some people might not want to mess with it because they think it's too complicated. It's too difficult to understand. It's interesting, and this is not on the slides, but in your notes I have the verse Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. At the end of Daniel's prophecy, he actually makes this comment in chapter 12, the end of his book. Daniel says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Even Daniel did not understand the prophecy he was writing, that he was recording. So, yeah, prophecy, there's a lot of things that we don't know. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't study it. Some people might ignore it because they think it's too contradictory. There's too many diverse views too many competing interpretations. It's not that important anyway, so why fight about it? You know, so it's like, why bother with prophecy? And some have gone to that extreme in a kind of an overreaction to some of these reasons. It's complications, it's difficulties, or maybe some people, they make too big a deal of prophecy. Okay, so then we react the other way and we ignore it. Well, I think there's some healthy middle ground between there. So, just to consider this question, some reasons, and this is maybe what I was just referring to, is some reasons not to study prophecy. Or, I don't want to say it that way. Why not to study prophecy? As far as how to study prophecy, it's something that is merely, it should be done simply as a curiosity, as a intellectual pursuit. It's like, well, I'm intrigued by it. And so, you know, sometimes when we're younger, prophecy is just, wow, that's cool, that's neat, and so we want to study prophecy. And I don't know that that's necessarily a good motivation or a good reason to be studying prophecy. Certainly, it does seem to pique our interest for some reason. But there's better reasons to study prophecy. Why not to study prophecy? Because in order to distract us from personal reflection or practical obedience, I think some people like to study certain areas of theology because they don't have to deal with their own sinfulness, the practical ramifications of the Christian life, whether that, you know, I guess I don't want to get too personal, but, you know, sometimes I think people can just focus on just one aspect of whether it's prophecy, whether it's creationism, whether it's a Jewish ministry or something like that, where they're just focused on one aspect and they ignore personal reflection and practical obedience in their daily lives. And then another reason not to study prophecy is an attempt to identify specific groups, individuals, events, dates. Oh, I know who the Antichrist is. I've got this figured out. Oh, I know when Christ is coming. No, it wasn't talking about the president. We almost voted the Antichrist in, though. Recently, I read an article put out by FoxNews.com. This article is dated April 11th, 2018. And the title, Biblical Prophecy Claims the Rapture's Coming April 23rd. You guys missed it! Why are you here? Oh no, why am I here? According to a numerologist. That's the reason. We're mid-tribs. We're mid-trib. Is the rapture really here? The article says. One Christian numerologist says a biblical sign strongly suggests it. David Mead is the guy. Tells the UK's Daily Express newspaper that on April 23rd, the sun and moon will be in Virgo, as will Jupiter, which represents the Messiah. News to me, I didn't know that. For a certain branch of evangelical Christianity, Revelation 12, 1 and 2 describes the beginning of what is known as the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The passage reads, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in both in birth pains and the agony of giving birth." Probably at some point we're going to deal with that verse. Who's this? What does this woman represent? and the clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, pregnant, giving birth. Well, according to this article, in the passage, the woman is represented as Virgo. According to Mead, the alignment represents the lion of the tribe of Judah, marking the rapture, the belief that Christ will bring the faithful into paradise prior to a period of tribulation on earth that precedes the end time. Mead said he believes the so-called planet X, which is also known as Nibiru, will appear above the sky on the April date, causing volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, and earthquakes. Did that happen on the 23rd? NASA repeatedly has said Planet X is a hoax. Speaking to the Express, Mead described it as a unique once-in-a-century sign, exactly as depicted in the 12th chapter of Revelation. This is our time marker. So we have, you know, people all the time that are trying to predict dates, when the second coming is, when the rapture is going to take place. They try to identify who this woman is, or who the Antichrist is, or who that is, or the different groups, or the different countries. And some of this, frankly, is just, we don't know. So we have to be careful with prophecy. And then another why not to study prophecy is then to promote, to push or prove personal conspiracy theories, speculations, opinions as authoritative. It's like, and then we sound really, you know, intelligent or authoritative. And so that is some reasons not to study prophecy. So, the first reason, why should we study biblical prophecy? And I've kind of divided this up into three big categories, and we're going to rush through some of this. I know you have 4 pages of notes, but I don't want to spend multiple weeks on this, so we're going to rush through some of this. But the first reason I give that we should study biblical prophecy is because prophecy is a significant, and that's the way I state it in your notes, it's different from up here. Prophecy is a significant portion of God's revelation to us contained in the Scriptures. So here we have God's revelation of Himself to mankind. And in this book, these 66 individual books that He's given to us, a large portion of this is prophecy. We're going to see that. Look at these verses that we read. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." By the way, that word shortly doesn't mean that when John wrote this, it was about to happen. It's the idea of it's once it happens, going to happen quickly. Okay, that's the idea there. So don't think, oh, the Bible's wrong here. It's been 2,000 years. What's going on? It's not short. No, that wasn't the point. So this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him of these things that will come to pass quickly. And he sent and signified to his angel and unto his servant John, who then recorded this in the book of Revelation. Verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy." At the end of the book, "Behold, I come quickly," Jesus says. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So, what do we have? We have an entire book of the Bible that is devoted to biblical prophecy. Prophecies about things to come from and concerning Jesus Christ. So, and of course there's a lot of other books that have contain a lot of prophecy, but this one here specifically is devoted to prophecy. Did you realize around 1/4 of the Bible was prophetic in nature when it was written? That's a lot. So it's estimated that a fourth of the Bible was prophetic when it was written. And the Bible clearly says that all Scripture is profitable, including the prophecy portions. It's profitable for us. It's profitable for our use. 2 Timothy 3:16, of course, says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And all Scripture, including the prophecies, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God alone has planned the end. Let me point this way. God alone has planned the end from the beginning. You know, if we think of time from left to right here and your perspective, God has planned the end from the very beginning. And we see that even in Scripture. In Isaiah 46, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I also will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. So God has planned even things that are yet in our future, even these end time events as we study prophecy. God's the one who has planned the end from the beginning. And so because of that, and he's revealed some of that plan to us in Scripture, and as I said, it's a big portion of Scripture, I think it's important that we study it. So God has chosen. God has chosen to reveal some of that plan in Scripture. Is there any portion of Scripture that is unimportant? Is there any portion of Scripture that's trivial? Is there any portion of Scripture that is optional? Then we dare not push aside all the prophetic portions of Scripture saying, oh, it's too hard to understand. Oh, there's too many competing, controversial issues, so I'm just not going to deal with it. No, I'm sorry, we don't have that option. We're ignoring an awful lot of Scripture if we ignore prophecy. Paul the Apostle said this to those that he ministered to. He wrote in Acts 20, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. In 20, verse 25, Paul says, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my... So he's about ready, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he gathers these believers around him. I believe they were from Ephesus. And he tells them, I have not kept anything back from you. And by the way, we have quite a bit of prophecy in Paul's writings and his teachings, his doctrine that he gave to the people. And he says, I kept back nothing from you. And he says in verse 25 that among you whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, and you shall see my face no more. He's on his way to Jerusalem and where he'll be arrested and so on. And then in Acts 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Here's some statistics of prophetic scriptures. 62 out of 66 books contain prophecy. These statistics come from the book, from a chapter by Richard Mayhew, which I'll talk about right at the end, Christ's Prophetic Plan is the name of the book, and that's where these come from. But 62 of 62 biblical books contain prophecy or predictive information. The only exceptions in the Bible are Ruth, Solomon, Philemon, and 3 John. All the other books of Scripture have some prophecy in them. 27% of all the verses in the Bible are prophetic in nature. 27%. And you have the numbers there, according to Richard Mayhew. 22% of those prophetic verses refer to Christ's second coming, which, of course, is still future for us, right? Unless you think April 23rd was the rapture, and you view the rapture as the second coming. All nine New Testament authors, there are nine New Testament authors, all nine of them mention Christ's second coming. 24, I'm not following along with the my PowerPoint here. 24 of 27 New Testament books mention the second coming. So only three New Testament books do not mention the second coming. The exceptions being Philemon, and then 2 and 3 John. There are approximately 333 specific biblical prophecies dealing with either Christ's first coming or his second coming. So in the Bible, there's about 333 verses dealing with the two advents of Christ. Of those, a third deal with the first, and two-thirds concern the second coming of Christ. So there's more emphasis in the Bible on his second coming than on his first coming. So those are just some statistics. And of all the prophecy that we find then in Scripture, nowhere does Scripture ever hint or imply or indicate that prophecy is exempt from us studying it, learning it, teaching it. Nowhere does it indicate that prophecy is exempt from a careful study, I think is the way I say it in your notes, a careful study, or that it should be avoided or minimized or ignored. Consider this verse. You guys are familiar with this verse. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Where did that go? Somebody messed with my slide. I don't know what happened, but I had on here underneath, rightly dividing the word of truth, and then I was supposed to have something pop up that said, oh, except for prophecy, don't worry about that. We don't need to rightly divide prophecy. It's too hard to understand. There's too many controversial views. We don't need to worry about it. No. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we're to rightly divide the word of truth, including the prophecy portions. Yeah. Well, not all of the Old Testament has been fulfilled yet. Yeah. So, the first reason we should study prophecy is because it's prevalent in Scripture. We can't just ignore prophetic portions of Scripture. Number two, God expects us to do something with the prophetic or with the prophecy He has given. He expects us to do something. He expects us to take action, as I say on the slide. Look at Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that does what? Reads it. And they that do what? Hear the words of this prophecy. And they that keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In verse 7 of chapter 22, behold, I come quickly, Jesus says. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So God expects us to do something with prophecy. What does he expect us to do with it? Well, God expects, and I would actually say commands, God commands us to do what? Read it. That's right from the text. Well, I think that kind of implies that that means we should study it. I think reading something means that you're trying to learn, you're trying to grow, you're studying it. And then for what purpose? To share it with others. So I believe that this command to read the prophecy of this book means that we ought to study it and teach it. So that's what we're going to do. Secondly, God commands us to do what? To hear it. Which implies what? It implies that we need to work on understanding it and accepting it. To hear, to heed, means to accept, to understand. When, as a parent, when you tell your child, go clean your room, you're not happy if they just physically hear you, but they don't do it, they don't understand it, they don't accept it, I'm not going to do that. I want to go outside and play. No, to hear means to heed, to comprehend it, to understand it, and accept it, and then, of course, the next step, keep it, which implies what? That we apply it and obey it. So prophecy does have relevance. It does have application to our lives right now, today. Just because these events are going to be taking place sometime in the future doesn't mean there's no presence application. And so he commands us to apply it and obey it. I make the statement that we're going to consider for a few minutes. God commands us then, and I think you would agree, God commands us to carefully study and teach, interpret all of Scripture with care and precision. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is our responsibility, it's our job to carefully study, carefully teach, carefully interpret all of Scripture with precision and care, including prophecy. And we see that throughout Scripture. In Matthew 28, we have the Great Commission. Jesus says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, except for the quarter of Scripture that's dealing with prophecy, right? Wrong. So we're to teach them to observe all things. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the world. Amen. We find also in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that would have included all that the apostles taught, including prophecy. And as we've already mentioned, all nine authors of the New Testament mention the second coming. They deal with prophecy. Acts chapter 5, verse 20 says, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, including prophetic portions. And of course, we already read this verse. Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel or all the counsel of God. We can't exclude the prophetic portions. We've already mentioned 2 Timothy 2:15, that we're to rightly divide the word of truth. And not, oh, there it is. There's where I put that one. So excluding prophecy. No. It's too hard. I'm going to ignore it. No, can't do that. So God commands us to carefully study and teach all of Scripture. 1 Peter 1, verse 10 says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. So just like the prophets have, they question things and they search things diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that could come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Now, Christ's first coming for them was prophetic, was still prophecy, it was still future for them. And yet the prophets did what? They inquired, they asked questions, they searched diligently, and they prophesied of the grace that would come, searching when and how the Spirit of Christ was going to come. So they were interested and they were studying. And it goes on at the end of the verse, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. By the way, from our perspective, have the sufferings of Christ taken place? Have the sufferings of Christ taken place? Yes. For them, that was still future. But now for us, this has taken place. Have the glories of Christ taken place? No. Well, in the sense that he's now in heaven and that type of thing. But if that's a reference to his second coming, which I think it probably is, then that's yet future even for us. And we live in this in-between part. So God expects us to take action, to do something with prophecy. Revelation 22 says this, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy, the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book." That's some serious consequences for carelessness when we study prophecy. That's some pretty serious consequences. So, yes, we need to study prophecy. Yes, we need to teach it. Yes, we need to apply it. Yes, we need to obey it, but we better be careful. We better do it with care and precision. But he does command us to study it, teach it, interpret it, because that's what we're to do with all of Scripture. Third reason, big reason why we should study prophecy is that prophecy, the study of prophecy, comes with many practical and immediate benefits. It's the way it's stated in your notes. On the slides, prophecy provides many blessings. Notice our verses in Revelation. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and he that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein." So he'll be blessed if you'll be blessed if you do this, God says. Jesus speaking in verse 7 of Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So prophecy provides many blessings. What are some of those blessings? Fulfilled prophecy gives, I say here, credence to Scripture. It gives evidence for the, and this is what Frenchie was maybe alluding to earlier. If we can see the prophetic portions of the Old Testament that have been fulfilled, and we see how it was prophesied beforehand, it came to pass just as it was prophesied, then that gives us confidence in the prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And so my first reason is that fulfilled prophecy gives evidence that the Bible is true, and builds our confidence then in God's Word, in His power, and in His sovereign control over all things, including the future, since He's the planned from beginning to the end. And so we can have confidence in His control, in His character, in His power, in the truth of His Word. It builds our confidence. In Acts, I'm going to have to rush through some of this, but in Acts chapter 13, we find this: "We declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto our fathers, God hath fulfilled." And he quotes Scripture, Paul does. He gives examples of how the Old Testament came to fulfillment, and that gives us confidence in God and His Word. Another way, another blessing that the study of prophecy gives is that it helps believers refute false doctrine, false teaching. It helps us to refute those who scoff at the Christian hope. We don't have time to look at this passage, but this is a great passage. But there are going to be scoffers that come. And the study of biblical prophecy helps us to refute those scoffers and the false teachers that come, will come and do come. The study of prophecy also motivates believers to holy living. If you think about the fact that, hey, one day you're going to face God, you're going to stand before Him in judgment, that the rapture could happen any moment, all of these things motivate us to holy living. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of right of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2 says that the grace of God brings salvation. It's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for what? The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're to, He has redeemed us from all iniquity and wants to purify us. 2 Peter talks about that if we realize that all this stuff is going to be dissolved, you know, too often we live for, you know, this world, right? Let's be real. We live for the things of this world. But our lovely mansion that we've lived our lives to build, one day will go up in a poof of smoke and it'll be gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for what? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, we could say prophecy, the promises of prophecy, or the prophetic promises, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The study of prophecy provides answers for other questions, struggles. Even, what about our loved ones that have already passed away? What happens to them? Pastor Warren has been teaching about, you know, it kind of, you know, when we die, our bodies die and our souls go to be with the Lord, the immaterial part of us. And some of those kinds of questions, and about the resurrection, and one day we're going to meet, be regathered to see our loved ones. And so the study of prophecy provides answers and hope for other questions and struggles, including the grief that we experience when loved ones pass away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. The study of prophecy also helps us to grow in Christ, to purify ourselves. It brings hope. It helps us to grow in Christ and to purify ourselves. 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So that's still future. We don't see Him now, but we will. And then he says in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifies himself even as He is pure. So we look forward to that day. But in the meantime, we're working progressively to purify ourselves and to become more Christ-like. That's what the study of prophecy does. What else does it do? It provides a source of hope, comfort, and encouragement. We looked at our memory verse this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, which comes right at the heels of prophetic portions of Paul's letter there to the Thessalonians. But he says in chapter 4, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. After he just got done talking about what? Anybody remember? What's he just got done talking about? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The rapture. Yes, the rapture. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 11, he says again, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. So it provides us a source of hope, comfort, and encouragement. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as a Christian, as we live this life, it's like, even so come, Lord Jesus. That should be our hope. That should be our anticipation. That should be our longing. That should be our desire. Prophecy also encourages patience through suffering. James talks about this. We don't have time to look at it. But it gives us the ability to be patient through trials and difficulties and suffering, knowing that one day it will be worth it all. It assures us that the persecution of the righteous will be avenged. So it is sure, let's see how I state it in your notes. I want to give you any blanks I have there. Prophecy assures us that the unjust persecution of the righteous will be avenged by God. Even in the book of Revelation, you see the believers that have died in the tribulation time in heaven, and they're crying out, how long, Lord? How long? How long will it be before we are avenged? Your people are avenged. So some concluding thoughts. In the end times, end time events are the culmination of God's redemptive plan. Again, why should we study prophecy? Well, end time events, it's the culmination, it's the climax, it's the pinnacle of God's redemptive plan that he started way back at the beginning in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell. And God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And end times is the culmination of all of that. God's redemptive plan working throughout history that we see even through Scripture. So the end matters most because it is the ultimate purpose for everything that God has promised, that everything God has done to this point. It matters because it's the purpose, it's the ultimate purpose for all of God's works. Prophecy is the source of ultimate hope and encouragement for the Christian, strength for increased godliness, joy that the difficulties of this life will one day end and death will be defeated, anticipation for a reunion with departed loved ones, and the reality that we will see God face to face. These future events are linked to history, to God's promises, and to the very character of God. A God who's all-powerful and all-knowing. And since God is sovereign, he is in direct control of every detail. Righteousness will prevail. Righteousness will prevail, and evil will be defeated. God's in full control of the beginning and the end. Consider this. Without prophecy, the biblical story is incomplete, it is uncertain, and quite frankly, the biblical story without prophecy is demoralizing. Because where's the resolution? So much is at stake. And I'll say this, much is at stake. The end of the story is the whole point of the story. So that is why we should study prophecy. So when it comes to biblical prophecy, I want to leave you with this verse. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. And this is for all of Scripture, but it also includes prophecy portions. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word will accomplish its intended purpose, including prophecy. So these are some helpful books. If as we go through the study of prophecy this summer, if you are interested in doing further study and reading, some of this material came from Christ's Prophetic Plan, a futuristic premillennial primer by John MacArthur, Richard Mayhew. If you buy one book, this is the one I would suggest. Very helpful book, well written. It's not super heavy, but gives a great summary of a good biblical position of prophecy. Another good book is Last Day's Handbook by Robert Leitner. It's pretty good, and it's easy to read. If you are interested in more in-depth study, this would be the book to get. It's a little dated. It's been around a while, but it's a pretty good, more in-depth theological study of things to come, a study on biblical eschatology by Pentecost. And that was my college text when I had biblical prophecy in college. So it's a more of a college level. It's not too difficult to read, but it's definitely more in-depth. And then, as we go through the study of prophecy, I realize there's probably going to be tons and tons of questions. We tend to have a lot of questions about this topic. So if you do have questions, what I'd like you to do so that I can kind of get questions as we're going through in the coming weeks, I have index cards on the back table. So what I'd like you to do is maybe jot down your questions even during our Sunday school sessions. If I don't have time for questions, which we won't this morning, then jot down your questions and hand them to me after Sunday school, and then I can plan ahead to maybe address some of those questions. So the index cards are in the back there. If you've got questions throughout the coming weeks, just jot those down. I want to be able to address those questions. I'll be doing a lot of the teaching, but I think Pastor's going to be doing some too. So that is why we should study biblical prophecy. We can't just ignore the topic because, oh, it's too difficult and I just don't want to deal with it. We don't have that option as believers. So next week we're going to talk about how do we study it then? How do you even start? Because prophecy goes from way out in left field to way out to right field. I mean, it's all over the map. And why is that? Well, because we're going to talk about biblical interpretation and how to study prophecy. So we'll start there next week and move forward. So if you have questions, write them down. Let's pray and then we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you for this time. May you bless as we move forward in this study. Help us to be careful in our study of Scripture. In all areas, but certainly in this topic of prophecy. And so may we be faithful to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.